You are listening to BensTorah.com.
V less Kalim for electrical appliances. We're going to focus on solutions. Meaning, last week we talked about, does a Kli that has an electrical component need V less Kalim? Does the fact that the electrical component is attached to the main Kli mean that maybe they're two separate Kalim and you could Tovel one without the other, one half of the Kli, but not the electric part of the Kli? Which presumably would be absurd, because if a Kli is one unit, so you have to be told the entire Kli, just like a person who goes to the mikveh has to be told their entire body. However, last week we saw a great kula for Rav Moshe Feinstein who says not, you could distinguish between two parts of a Kli. They have two different uses, and therefore the urn part that holds water is one part of the is one Kli, and the heating elements is a different Kli, two totally different things, which is a Chiddush Atzam. Okay, but tonight I want to talk about, really, to be honest, go through much of the, go through one main tshuva, the Chelkis Yaakov, that's Yaakov Breisch from Switzerland, I believe, and he points out about five different solutions to the issue of being Tovel electrical appliances. Now I want to tell you a story before we begin, and that is that I was once speaking to a Schechter about the issue of Toveling electrical appliances, and he told me the following. That Belsky Zatzal told him, Belsky of course is the expert in all things, you know, technological, Belsky told him that the only thing, that whenever you have, there are two kinds of electrical issues. There's an electrical issue that relates to heating elements and electrical issues that relate to motors. And the two of them are very different, said Rubelsky. You could comment, well, you know, based on your expertise in electrical engineering. So, said Rubelsky that if it's something that's just a heating component, like a hot water urn, he said that's not going to get ruined by water. We talked about the science of, you know, why you can't put, you know, electrical things in water. That was last week. Not going to go into that again. But Rubelsky told the Schechter that if it's just a heating element like an urn or like a kettle, that will not get ruined by water as long as you leave it out to dry long enough. However, if there are moving parts, there's a motor, that could indeed cause destruction by immersion. So with that in mind, I think Rav Schechter is of the opinion, not like everybody else, but Rav Schechter at least is of the opinion that if you have a motor, like a hot popcorn with hot air, there's a thing that blows hot air. So there it's not just the heating element, but there's also a fan that runs around, turns around, or a blender, it depends on the blender, but if it's such a situation where there's a motor that's going to cause something to turn around, that I think Rav Schechter holds, he assumes that it would break, and I think Rav Schechter holds you would not have to be told that. But not everybody holds like that. We're going to see right here. Others don't make the distinction and say, just because you're worried it's going to break, that's not necessarily a kula.
What's the heter? If it's going to break, so it breaks.
I hear what you're saying. In Lamdus, what's the heter? If you have an mitzvah d'oraisa to be tov with this item, so just because it won't break. So, okay, so you don't use hot water urns, you don't use popcorn makers, right? I hear that. Fine. So let's go through the Chelkis Yaakov in source number one. I'm sorry?
It doesn't rest on sit well logically, that you have to total something that by definition will break.
So you have to say it in the more lambdish terms.
You're right.
So that's what we have. That's what Rabbi Dr. Bickman is asking.
He's saying the opposite.
He realizes what you say, but he's saying in lambdish, why should that be? Why should it be? Yes, of course it doesn't sit well that if it's going to break, why should you have to total it, it's going to break. But halachically, how does that work? Why should that be?
So what do we say? Who says something has been blended?
Who says Jews have to use blenders? Who says Jews have to use hot water urns? Right.
But it still doesn't sit well.
Right. So, or we'll see five other solutions possibly this evening that might deal with this solution. Okay, but let's move on. Says the Tshuva. First, get the Shaila. Kli lahachem teve kafe ubishulav. And on its bottom is a machona chashmalit. Is an electrical instrument levashel. In English, it's called an urn or a kettle. Hot water, an electric urn, an electric kettle. And you can't put it in a v'yeh, shalah havila sochamayik, it's kalkel, get ruined. And the question is twofold, asks the Chalkas Yaakov. First of all, imichuyu b'tvila. Does the fact that it's going to get ruined itself obviate the need to tovel it in the first place? And secondly, let's say you would be tovel it, yichelek hatachton la'avei chatzitza. Will that, if you do tovel it, will that other part serve as a chatzitza? And therefore, render, even if you are tovel it, the tefillah won't work. So look at what he says. Pshita da'akli mechuyi v'tefillah. The first question where he doesn't budge from, and he's not going to budge, that the entire tshuva. He'll suggest five solutions, but the starting point is that if you have a kli that's used for food, you have to be tovel it, period. And he says, you should know this. The Gemara talks about specifically about hot water urns, maybe without electricity, but like the Gemara Nafar Zarain, hey, kumkumin. What's a kumkum? A kumkum is a hot water urn. V'chame chamin mag'ilon u'matbilon v'hein tahorin. You have to do tovel, you have to be tovel them. So, the fact that it has electricity isn't going to help me. Okay. What about the electricity? So, he says something interesting. There's a halach in Tevilas Kelim that says the following. Let's say I have a pot, a frying pan, that has a handle. So the frying pan that has a handle, do you have to be told for the handle? So the halacha is clearly that you do have to be told for the handle. If that's the case, let's say I have an electric urn that has an electricity component on the bottom. That should be just like the handle. It's an extension of the kli. It serves a little bit of a different purpose. I know Moshe built this idea up last week, but it's like the handle. In the same way you have to be tovel the yad, the yadit, the yadis of the kli, so too you should have to be tovel the electrical component on the bottom of the kli. And what happens if you tovel a frying pan without the handle? It's as though you didn't tovel the frying pan. You don't want to tovel the whole kli. So it says the same thing. If you would tovel an urn without the electrical component, presumably, it's as though you didn't put the whole kli in the mikvah. Now this, by the way, is against Rav Moshe that we saw last week, because Rav Moshe, who we saw last week, said that you could divide and conquer. You could say that this kli called an electric urn has two roles and two parts. One is the, you know, just the receptacle of water, and one is a heating element, and there are two different roles and two different kelim. You can be tovel one without the other. He assumes, I mean, that's Bechiddush, Rav Moshe's leniency. Okay, so let's go.
Is it because nothing's touching the food or the water is not actually touching where you're going to be eating, or drinking?
Well, even if something's not touching the... Let's assume for now that the urn does have, the bottom of an urn, that bottom plate that gets hot does touch the... does touch the water.
Possibly, unless it sits on top of it.
But even if the handle doesn't touch the food.
Right, that's true. Even if the handle doesn't touch the food, it still has to be tovel.
So
that's
what I'm saying. He's saying two separate things.
He's saying they have two roles, and therefore you could consider them two different kelim. That's what I'm saying.
Nothing to do with touching.
Right. I mean, we're assuming this is a kli that is touching food, so the whole kli should, and much as Mechadish, that we could still say it has two different roles, and one role is a role that. Oh, you're saying if the electrical component does touch the food, would the motion still be makeup?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to your question. It's a good question. Okay, so we're going to go through the tshuva with a number of solutions. Solution number one, give to a Gentile. So look at what this, I think we spoke about this last week, so I'm not really going to talk about it much. The issue that we had, if you give it to the Gentile, which was based on the Shulchan Aruch we saw last week, is of course that only works for short term, like on Shabbos, if you didn't have time to be tovel it, so you can give it to the guy for Shabbos, but Motzei Shabbos, you have to be tovel it again. If you're going to borrow it from the guy for long, you know, forever, you give it to your housekeeper. It's hers. Can I borrow it from you for the next 5 years? So that, by definition, is not going to work, and you'll have to be tovel it because it's shakua by you, even if it's legally owned by the guy. The fact that you're borrowing it long term wouldn't in any way obligate you to be tovel. So therefore, that's not going to be such a leniency. So let's go to the next one. The next one is interesting. What's the halacha if a person goes to the mikvah and inside their cheek, their inner cheek, they have some kind of chatzitza? So is that a problem? So that's a sugya beis hastar. What happens if you have a kli? And inside the inner part of the kli, not the part of the kli that touches the food, not the part of the kli that you see, but inside the inner part of the kli, there's a chatzitza. So it's not a problem. What about if the water isn't able to, when a person, when I go to the mikvah, when a woman goes to the mikvah, does she have to open up her eyes and open up her mouth and open up her nose and let all the mikvah water flood into the mouth? Absolutely not. They wouldn't like to do it anyway. But they don't have to do it. Why? Because Beis Hasdarim, look at the source number 5, this is just part of the Chelkus Yaakov's Shaila in Yoredei Siman Mem Gimel, Sifkat and Dalet. Beis Hasdarim Bekli, Lo Be'inan Afroi Lebi'as Hamayim. Not only do you not need water to actually get into the inside of the innards of a kli, you don't even need it to be able for water to get there. Even if you would have a chatzitza there, if it's on the inside, I don't mean the inside meaning where you put the food inside a kli, I mean the inner guts of the kli that you can't see. Im kein benidan didan, this is what he suggests. Kemosher isi la kli, I looked at this urn. So what is the urn? Picture an urn with on the bottom is a plug. The plug is a little hole on the bottom of the urn. You're going to stick the cord into it. And the urn from that little hole in the bottom has these two prongs that you're going to stick the cord on top of those two prongs. Yesh b'sham michutz l'kli chor, there's a hole, v'socha chor shnei chutei matechas, two prongs, sh'ayodam ischam l'chashmal, connect to the electricity. U'mitachtam, and underneath the, so what are we worried about? We're worried about behind the prongs, there are cracks that get into the guts of the urn, the inside of the urn, the innards of the urn. That's what we're worried about. We're worried about the water that's going to go through the cracks underneath the prongs into the innards of the urn. It says, when we talk to him, it sounds stuck in their cracks, shall yodan, through those cracks, yavo hamayim hayachon lekalka, the water that could potentially ruin the inside of the urn, are going to go through those cracks right beneath the prongs, right beneath the urn's ablid. Vim kain, this is his suggestion. If you take some kind of sealant and put a tiny little bit of, you could put even glue or some other tiny bit of sealant, whatever cracks are in the area where the water would seep in and thereby mess up the electrical components inside your urn, that's beis hasdarim. It's covered over. It's the inside. And therefore, lo have a yosem mi beis hasdarim. The kli deina chotzeis. That's not going to be considered a chatzitza. And therefore,
it's a temporary filling.
For example, if I put earplugs in and I went to the mikvah, ears are not beis hasdarim. They can typically open. You see, it's not something that's normally open, not something like a mouth that is typically closed and eyes.
Well, he's talking about the water behind the prongs of the outlet on the bottom of the urn. There are cracks that go to the inside of the urn that you can't see, where there's the control board and the wires. You don't see it on the outside. That's what we're worried about, right? So he's saying that doesn't need BS mic.
It's not covering over the opening of the.
That's not what he said here, right? He's just talking about sealing up the cracks that'll prevent the water from entering.
The heating element.
Yeah, but it's the internal heating bandage that's put over that's put inside your mouth. That would not be good. So what house is any different than a temporary than chatzitza that's put over these holes to block these holes?
So I'm not an expert in these chatzitza issues. If I'm not mistaken, when you have a chatzitza on a minority that you're not makpid about, tefillas kalim is different than tefillah of a person. Meaning, let me finish this because it's a very important point. Halacha l'maisa. Rabose, how many of you have gone to the mikveh with a newly bought glass bowl, and as you take it out, you see that tiny little sticker on the bottom? Okay, you peel off the sticker, and what's underneath that sticker? That glue that never comes off? So what do? You say, okay, I have to take it home and scrub it off with Brillo or something. That's not correct. No, you don't have to. It's a miut she'eno makpid. Miut she'eno makpid, even though we are makpid on that, miut she'eno makpid is a double drabbanon. First of all, it's a miut, is only a chatzitza drabbanon. And the fact that you're not makpid is a double drabbanon. So when a nida goes to the mikveh, we're makpid for the double drabbanon, a miut she'eno makpid. Tvilas kelim, we don't have that chumra. Tvilas kelim, we don't have that chumra. If you go to the mikveh and you take off that sticker, one second, and there's a little glue there, just put it straight in. Get whatever glue you could get off. After that, just put it in.
But here you're makpid because you want that chatzitza there to prevent the water from getting in.
So makpid means you want it to not be there usually.
No? Yeah, you don't. Okay.
Okay. So let's go to the next heter. The next heter.
Do you want, just because I heard something else, you don't have to actually scrape it off with your nails as much as you can.
That is correct. 100%. That is correct.
So
I'm not talking about a nida going to the, I'm talking about the clay.
So the
glue underneath that sticker.
The glue, what about the actual, there's some white sticker left.
That's also fine. A little bit of the white sticker that you can't peel off, like the price tag.
How much do you have to scrape?
As much as you can, I don't know. You don't have to go crazy. You don't have to push yourself. You don't have to go home and get Brillo.
Okay.
Yeah, enough that you couldn't care less about. Fine. Let's go to the next point. I called it the moist grip. This is a shaila that applies that we're going to borrow from Hilchas Nida. What happens if there's a woman who's scared, who doesn't know how to swim? She's scared to go into the. She's scared to go into the water. So this was an issue that the Shulchan Aruch talks about in Hilchas Nida. It says the following. You know what you could do? Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. So she doesn't know how to swim. Remember, nowadays we have some beautiful mikvahs with handrails and steps. Let's say you had to go into a lake. People get, God for Hashem Yirachem, people get swept away. Right? There's a guy got killed. A guy got swept away on the beach here. What was it? Just a year ago. Just a few, less than a mile from where we're sitting right now. It's dangerous.
Riptides,
exactly. So a person's scared to go on their own. They don't know how to swim. They're riptides in the middle of the night by themselves. So this is what the Shulchan Aruch says. Top of the next page. Lo tochas b'chaverta b'yadeha. Her friends can't hold her arms. Can't hold her with her hands. Shushas tevila. Unless ela imkain rafsa yada. The holder, we'll call it the mikvah lady or the mikvah ladies, could loosen their grip such that kedei shiavo hamayim b'makom achizas yadeha. So that the mikvah lady is holding her arms is allowing some water to come through underneath her grip. Now there's one more prat. If the mikvah lady first rinsed her hand such that her hand was wet, shari, that's going to be permitted. Why? Because the liquid, the drops of liquid on her hand that are in between, what are we worried about? If I grab this arm has to go in the mikvah, we're worried about a chatzitza, that there's no water getting to underneath her hand. But if my hand was wet anyway with water, and now I grab the woman's hand, and the waters of the mikvah could meet up with the wet hand that I was grabbing, so the wetness underneath my hand and the waters of the mikvah could join together, and they will meet, and therefore they will not be considered a chatzitza. Now, regarding that halacha, there happens to be, if you could just skip to 8 and 9, there's a very big machlokas, let's look at source number 7 first. Source number 7, you see the similar halacha by Tefilas Kelim. This happens all the time. What happens if you have a glass bowl, an expensive glass bowl? What happens if you drop it in the mikveh? It's going to often, it could crash. If it goes down slowly, fine. But sometimes you drop it, it's going to crash on the bottom. You go to the mikveh, you see glass, on the bottom all the time. But if you're holding it, then you're messed up because there's a chatzitza. If you let go of it, sometimes they have baskets. If they have baskets, great. They don't always have a basket. But sometimes it's like that wall will slip right through the basket. Like, those narrow peelers, very narrow, or some narrow kli, a knife. You put it in the basket, it'll slip right through the holes in the basket, and you're gone. So what do? So you sort of, a lot of people you let go of it for a second and grab it. If you do that well, good for you. If you don't have a good catch, then you're not coming home for dinner tonight. You're going
to
throw it out of the house. Look at what the Shulchan Aruch says. Sarah Shehei, now this is Hilchas Tevilas Kelim, Arsug, yeah? Says the Shulchan Aruch in Source 7. Sarah Shehei Hakli Rafui Biyadah, weak, meaning loose in his hand, Bishas Tevila. Shimahadka Biyadah, if you hold the Kli tightly when you immerse it in the Mikvah Kelim, in the Kelim Mikvah, it will be a Chatzitza. But there's a solution. If you first moistened your hand separately and apart before you held that item, you wet your hand, then you don't have to be worried if you're holding it loosely. Look at this Rama in the parentheses is the Rama. The water that you moistened your hand with prior has to have been mikvah water. So the mikvah water that's underneath your hand will marry the mikvah, will touch, will connect to the mikvah water that you're immersing itself in, right? That's what the Ramah says. And says the Shach, when the Shach is commenting not on Tefilas Kelim, but the Shach is commenting on the Hilchas Nida, when they're talking about grabbing her arm, It says, when they grab her arm, first they have to moisten their hand, says the Shach in Source Amrei, Davka b'mei mikvah, when they grab her hand, when they grab her arm. V'alo b'mei tlush, they can't rinse their hands underneath the sink and then grab her arm. Look at the Taz. The Taz is saying, when they grab her arm, because she's scared to go, she's scared of the riptide, and they grab her arm, perish, afil b'mayim tlushim. No, it doesn't have to be the mikvah water. They could have wet their hands anyhow, anywhere. Because right now, as they're putting their, as the lady's going to the mikvah with the wet hand holding her, sha'achu she'ischar l'mei mikvah yugam hem k'shirim. If the wetness underneath their grip, there's moisture there, and it's going to connect to a mikvah, guess what? It's now mikvah water. Just got kashered as mikvah water. Just like any time you pour a cup of water into the mikvah, that cup of water becomes mikvah water. So this is a big machlokas achronim. Do you need the rinsing of your hand? Meaning, could you take your hand when you go to the mikvah? Halacha maisa. Could you stick your hand under the sink and then hold the your knives as you immerse them? Or do you have to bedafka, stick your hand into the mikvah, wet it, and only then grab your knives? Machlokas, so we're usually machlokas because it's just so easy to do. Just stick your hand into the water, wet your hand well, hold it loosely. With that as background, says the Chelkis Yaakov Reish, in source number 10. I have an Eitzah. Based on everything that we just learned by Nida and by Hilchos Tefilas Kelim, you know what you could do? You're worried about the water that's going to get into the socket or into the cracks. Take your hand, stick your hand in the mikveh. It's now wet. Put your hand loosely, not too tightly, loosely, over wherever the cracks are that you're worried about. And you will, whatever the moisture under your hand is, not enough moisture that will go in and ruin the innards of your electrical components, the innards of the kli where the electrical components are found, but water will connect, the moisture under your hands will connect to the rest of the mikvah, and you can be tovel without worrying about liquid getting into the cracks. Let's look at that in source number 10, the second paragraph of 10. Imkei, let's just see it inside. Imkei, benidin didan, in our case, nama, yesh eitzel, hadiach etzpaos b'mei mikvah, rinse our fingers in the mikvah water, b'tafech la'atpich, right? It has to be that their hands are really wet. Ubahanu etzpaos yistam hastakim, seal up those cracks. Lo dochak mamish, don't really press on it. Rakarov l'ripui, just let it be a loose pressing. Ba'ofen kazeh, im yavo, eze lachluchis mayim b'sham, lo yiskalkim b'chona. A little liquid that gets in won't really ruin anything. And now he has a great aids, and this is an aids that I have given to people. You think you're going to get your fingers in the exact shape that you have to seal up the crack? Maybe not, but listen what you could do. You could take a towel and do the same thing. Instead of your hands, use a towel. Or a piece of cotton. Take a piece of cotton. Let's say you have this sheka, this outlet on the bottom, this socket on the bottom of your urn. Take this piece of cotton. Take a big fluffy piece of cotton. Stick it in the mikveh. Squeeze out most of the water so that it's still moist. It still has moisture on the outside of it. Stick that cotton into wherever you're scared of the water going. Like cracks underneath in that socket. Stick that cotton there. It'll take the shape of the... It'll take the shape of much of the... Push it in. Press it hard. Not too hard. Press it in so that water's not going to go freely through it, but there's still moisture underneath it that could connect to the rest of the main mikvah. And then you don't have to be worried about water seeping in because it's blocked by the cotton. But still, you do have water there from the mikvah because it's mechuber to the rest of the main mikvah.
Silly question. Once you're saying that this is allowed, why don't you just do that for the entire kli?
Because it's much easier. Not. It's much easier to stick the entire kli into the... And I'd rather stick a kli into the mikvah than take a towel, wet it, and wrap it all around all the sides of the kli.
Assuming that the only concern that you have is that one spot.
Yeah.
But if you have something that actually...
That has lots of spots and do with a lot of spots, yeah. Mm-hmm. You have to figure it out. And again, that would be an eitzah. Where do you find this actually being employed? Says Mirchas Yaakov, we do this, we give this psak all the time to women who have... Where's my doctor? Ear infections. Is it not good to get water on an ear infection? Yeah, okay, thank you. It's a problem to get water on an ear infection. Oh, thank you, perfect, thank you. I'm glad you're here tonight. So, it's a problem to get water on an ear infection. So I tell them, says the Mechaz Yaakov, I give this heter all the time. Take cotton, wet the cotton in the mikveh, stick it in the ear, such that there's moisture there, then she could dunk. The moisture in the mikveh, the water from the mikveh will connect to the moisture that's surrounding the cotton ball, or they're saturating and surrounding the cotton ball, and she will have been considered dunked in the mikveh. And you didn't have the water flowing straight to the ear, you just had the moisture from the cotton ball. Same way? Fascinating. This is a very, very easy to do, a very practical solution. Okay, let's go to the next solution. This is a little bit more involved. We'll say it outside. He says basically, you could just take something like silly putty or wax and stick it in. Again, we're talking about this this socket on the bottom of the urn where you're going to put the plug in, where the two prongs are coming out of. Take silly putty or wax and just stick it in, seal it in there, and leave it there for a week. What does that mean? Once it's there for a week, it becomes batel to the kli. Not that you're going to use it like that, not that you're going to stick it into the mikveh like that, but you're going to leave it there for a week. Once it becomes wax is filling this cavity for a week, it becomes part of the kli. Without getting to the lumdus, he says, then you could be tovel it like that, like it has, as it has been for the past week, with this wax or this silly putty sitting there, or play-doh for that matter, sitting there, tovel it, because it's now part of the kli. And you tovel the kli. After you take it out of the water, just pull out the silly putty, pull out the wax, pull out the play-doh, and you have a kli that was toveled. Interesting. The next solution, source number 5, is something that I mentioned last week, right? You can be tovel it you can be tovel the kli in snow, because the snow will not seep into your cracks, but the snow still, according to at least the Di'eved, for Tevila D'Rabbanan, at least by Zechuches, we saw last week, when it comes to glass, which only needs Tevila's Kelim Mid'Rabbanan, we will make it to allow it in snow. Here you're dealing with a metal urn, so that's not really going to help you. But okay, but that's another heter. That was all, those were a series of 5 or so heterim that the Yaakov Breish accumulated. But now I'd like to talk about the main part of the shir, and that is the heter of plugging something in. It's a famous heter. It's interesting. It's a very mechudish tikka heter. I'd like to understand it, see what the positive aspects are and what the weaknesses are. It's all based on a Yerushalmi. There's one line of Yerushalmi. This Yerushalmi is actually hashkafa. Why do you do tefillas kelim? What's the tam hamitzvah for the mitzvah d'oraisa of tefillas kelim? Listen to what the Yerushalmi says. I think I might have mentioned it last week, but not in a halachic sense. Pesha b'Yerushalmi, quoted by the Beis Yosef in source number 13. Says Yerushalmi in Avodah Zarah, the purpose of tefillah is k'dei sheyetzu mitumaso shel goy l'kedushaso shel Yisrael. Just like a person has to dunk in a mikvah when they want to become Jewish, so too a plate and a spoon and a fork have to dunk in the mikvah when they want to become Jewish and shift from non-Jewish ownership to Jewish ownership. But it's not just the idea of Geirus, it's the words of the Yerushalmi. It's not just that the Yerushalmi says that this is Geirus, just like this Geirus of a human being with a mikvah, so this Geirus of Kalim that you buy Kalim from a guy and use it, you have to be tovel them. Look at the words of the Yerushalmi. Sheyetsu mi tum aso shel guy. The word tuma is a word that the Yerushalmi used. Now, with the word tuma, we use the word tuma about a lot of things, right? Oh, don't, when do we use the word tuma? Like, what? No, that's real tuma. I'm trying to say where we use the word tuma in a borrowed sense.
Internet.
What? Yeah, internet is it's tuma. Internet's tuma. Yeah, where's it's talking about maga masa or which is it? Tuma's mace to sheretz with all of them together. Avi Avol said, which tuma is it? Okay, that's what we mean. So when we talk about tuma social guy, a guy who's megayer has to be tovel in a mikvah so that he could get rid of his tumas akum. What kind of tuma was that? He touched the dead body? No. He touched the sheretz? No. So we don't really mean tuma, but the word we use is tuma. So I want to show you, everything is based on the following Shev Yaakov. The Shev Yaakov lived in the late 1600s, early 1700s. And you'll see one line, and from that one line of the two, he learns, he's going to build the Yisod off a line from the Torah. He quotes the Tur. I underline it. He quotes the line from the Beis Yosef, that tvil, it's a little bit hard to read, it's the cut and paste, that tvil underline, haya sheyavim tumasa shal akum, v'sham batur kasav, amasha kasav v'sefer mitzvos. There's a discussion in the Tur that says the following.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
When something is tameh, you can be metahir it in a mikvah of memsa, or you could be metahir it in a mayon, in a spring. How big does a spring have to be? Even a kolshu, even the tiniest bit of water that comes from a spring, not the size of a mikvah, smaller than a mikvah, a little puddle that comes from an underground spring, that's enough to be metahir something, if it's tameh. The Torah says, if that works by real tumah to be metahir a kli that was tummy, that touched the sheretz, that touched the dead body, touched the sheretz, I should say, certainly will work for tevilas kelim. Because look at what the second underline line, she'ein lahachmir b'tevila zu, tvei mitvilas tumah. You're not going to be more machmir by tevila for tevilas kelim than by tevila for tumah v'tahara. Why? Because tevilas kelim is also for tumah v'tahara of taking the kli out of tumas hagoy into tumas yisrael. What is that saying? That tour is telling us, says the Chalkas Yaakov, the Shev Yaakov, I'm sorry, that whatever halachas apply to tumah, whatever leniencies apply to tumah, should also apply to tevilas kelim. Chiddush atzam v'nara. That's one chiddush. That you could apply the rules of tumas, tumah in the literal sense, tumah with a capital T, to tevilas kelim, to this pseudo tumah that we're calling tumas, you know, tumas ha'gai, to the tumas yisrael, to the kedushas yisrael. Whatever halachas apply to real tumah, we could apply to tevilas kelim. That's chiddush atzam number one. Chiddush number two, says the Shev Yaakov, we have a halacha. The halacha is that anything, the pasuk says, al heharim v'lo heharim. If you have like an asherah, I think the pasuk is talking about or certain avodah zarahs that are on the mountains, they are tamei, but not the mountains themselves. Meaning, something that is karka, or that is mechubel karka, cannot become tamei. Okay. Let's say I have a kli. You go to an industrial kitchen, and they have a built-in... Help me. A built-in vat. It's a 80-gallon. You go to these factories, they have maybe 150 gallons, or a hotel, they have a 50-gallon soup machine. It's a machine that you cook soup in. It's built-in. It's gigantic. It's taller than you. It's many times wider than you. It's a built-in machine. It's attached to the ground.
So it's not
Mekabel Tumah.
But
when
you do the kabbalah anyway,
that's exactly what we're talking about. So that is not mekabel tumah because it's attached to the ground. So now the question is going to be: does it require tevilas kelim? Says the Shev Yaakov that we just learned, based on what we just proved from this Yerushalmi, that tevilas kelim is a halacha of tumah, and we know in halachas tumah that something that's mechuber lakarka does not contract tumah. Well, if it doesn't contract tumah, it doesn't have to become tummy for tumah. It also wasn't tummy to require tevilas kelim. And therefore, the Shev Yaakov was talking about this shayla. He's talking about a certain kind of pot that was built into the furnace. I think they had a furnace not in the kitchen. The kitchen was somewhere else, but they had a furnace to heat the house. And built into the furnace, which is part of their house, was a pot to warm things up while you're using the furnace. So it was built in. So the Shev Yaakov wants to say that since it's attached to the house, it's attached to this part of the house, therefore it will not become tamei, and just like it won't become tamei, it also will not require tevilas kelim. So in an industrial environment, this Shev Yaakov, I don't know if you're passing like this,
but you have water tank.
What?
You have water tank in the house.
Hot water tank. You're saying that's a kli that's touching food that's ready to use.
It's touching water. Water, it's heating. It's the same hot water that I'm in there goes to the sink.
Okay, I hear that. That's an interesting point. I have to think about that.
Water, just water needs to be.
Yeah, if you have an urn, a hot water urn like we have here, that would need to be, that's a food.
So the argument is that something's not the problem,
That is the Chiddush Atzma of the Shev Yaakov, correct. There are two Chiddushim. One is that we're applying Tumah to, that what's happening by Tefillas Kelim is anything to do with Tumah. I might, if I learn the Pasuk of Tefillas Kelim, I don't see anything about Tumah. There's a mitzvah, Gzeres HaKasev, to be Megayer your Kelim. Not just people, you have to Megayer our Kelim also. So the Yusham, the tour was Mechadish, that will apply Hilchas Tumah. And then the Shev Yaakov is taken, and so too, if something's not Mekabel Tumah, it will not...
The tour is using the literal possible act of Nida. If a Nida could be told LS in it, even though it's less than 40 sub, then it will work for Tefillas Kelim as well. I don't know if there's a riot to that.
Okay, yeah, fine.
Okay, fine.
Fine, there are other parts that I cut out, there's another one also. Okay, so what do we have here? We have nothing that will help us with our discussion, except if we're talking about an 80-gallon vat that's built into your industrial kitchen, but that doesn't help us to our discussion. Now we fast forward a few hundred years to somebody else whose last name was Yaakov, or whose first name was Yaakov, to the Chelkas Yaakov. Not the Chelkas Yaakov that we were learning the first half of this year, but rather a different tshuva. Two shilas before the one that we were doing, Mem Gimel. This is Chelkas Yaakov, Simon Mem Aleph. Probably one of the most famous Chelkas Yaakovs. Anyone who knows a Chelkas Yaakov knows this one. There are plenty of people who don't know any Chelkas Yaakovs. But if you've got to know a Chelkas Yaakov, Rabosai, this is the Chelkas Yaakov that you have to know because it's one of the most famous truvas of the Chelkas Yaakovs. He was the one who had this blitzkrieg, this incredible epiphany. Says the Chelkas Yaakov, and he's talking about an immersion coil, and that's going to be important because he's not talking about a pot, he's talking about an immersion coil. I don't know, I think we might have mentioned this point last week, don't remember. An immersion coil. Okay. It's you plug it in, and you put the metal into your cup of cold water, it boils up your cold water. Kapit chashmalit. Yofi. Says the Chelkas Yaakov, the only way to use an immersion coil is by what? By plugging it in. Says the Chelkas Yaakov now. If the Shev Yaakov taught us that something is mechubar lakarka, is not mekabel tumah, and therefore it doesn't need to be as kelim. I have an immersion coil. An immersion coil, I could wave it all around. It's not mechubar lakarka. But it only works when?
Plugged in.
When you plug it in to the karka, to the wall, to the karka. And therefore it is mechadesh, the Chelkas Yaakov, that should be called mechubar lakarka. And using the cooler of the Shev Yaakov from 250 years prior to him, since it's mechubar lakarka, it's not mekabel tumah. And using the chiddush of the Torah that the Shev Yaakov used, since it's not mekabel tumah, it therefore will not require tefillas kelim. What did we just do? We just solved all the problems of every single electrical appliance anywhere. Any electrical appliance, an urn, a toaster, a popcorn popper, a George Foreman grill, a pancake maker, a waffle maker, every electrical appliance that you could think of. How does it work? You plug it into the wall. It's mechubar lakarka, and it will only work if you plug it into the wall.
Right.
It's useless. Try using a George Foreman grill without plugging it in. It's pointless. It's worthless. It only works if you plug it in. So therefore, its use is only when it's mechubar lakarka, and based on the Shev Yaakov's kula, again, who wasn't talking about electricity, he was talking about the built-in oven into the house's furnace that won't be mekabel tumah, and with a chiddush from the tour, that whatever is not mekabel tumah will also not require tefillas kelim. Built A on top of B on top of C comes out. Any electrical appliance, by virtue of the fact that it's plugged into a wall, it's not mekabel tumah, and therefore it does not require tefillas kelim. End of story. Creative. Very mechudish. I just want to point out the levels of chiddush that are here. There are three levels of chiddush. Number one, the fact that Tvilas Kalim has anything to do with Tumah in the first place. Second, that if something is not Mekabel Tumah, it doesn't require Tvilas Kalim at all. And third, that when you plug in something to the wall, that makes it called Mechubar LaKarka. That's also a Chiddush, right?
So
if I plug something to the wall, you have something that you could carry it all around, you could put it in your pocket. It's a travel. These immersion coils are travel items. You carry it all over the world. You bring it on the plane with you, bring it to another country, and you find yourself into a hotel and you want to warm up a coffee for yourself, you plug it in, and that's called mechubar lakarka. That's also chiddush. So there are numerous levels of chiddush.
So does this nogea other plane? First of all, first thing,
is this considered to be not a kli because it's not usable as long as it's not mukhar l'karka? Is that
it's useless when it's not attached
so
to the wall?
So the argument is that it's not a kli, or the argument is that it's mukhar l'karka when it's being used?
I think it's one and the same. It's not really used. It's not a meaningful item when it's not mukhar l'karka.
If it's not a kli, then making it into a kli in and of itself would be the Jewish person making it into a kli, therefore would require a tefillah.
Nah, I don't think that. It's not. It needs to be ma'isa uman. It needs to be ma'isa uman. Okay, so we have a brilliant kula of the Chalkes Yaakov, and that was the main point of the shiur. But just
this
before,
is al-Hal al-Maisen.
What?
This is not al-Hal al-Maisen.
According to Chalkes Yaakov, it is.
But that's not the poskim. Otherwise, we will.
Let's see the other poskim. We have to finish right now. Let's look at what Rav Vosner says about this in source number 16. But you realize he basically took the whole sugya, threw it out in the garbage. You don't have nothing to start with. Anything that plugs in, don't get into cracks, don't worry about. You don't have to be tovel in the first place.
Right.
So I'm saving my cotton balls.
What?
I'm saving
you
my
save
cotton
your
balls.
Cotton balls, you save your wax, you save everything. Right. You don't even have to be tovel in the first place. Says Rav Vosner in the Shas Jewish Sheret HaLevi, Chelek Bei Simon and Zion, source number 16. Don't be blinded. Don't let your heart, you know, pull you to be Mekel al Pimash. Me, somebody, he doesn't even mention my name. Sharat alone with the cave of the Mechubar Ma'idei Chud Lakotel. Since it's attached by the wire to the wall, Mikra Kliya Mechubar Lakarka. And therefore it's Patman of Tzvila. Don't be blinded by that person who suggested that. Zani is Daiti Zehevel or Uz Ruach. That's a nice way of saying?
Nonsense.
It's nonsense. The Haglufa, now he's going to show you the points that we just pointed out. That very point, that a kli tala shechar l'karka, let's say you have something that's not attached, that you attach it to the ground. Is that part from Tefillas Kela? That was the first point, that I didn't focus on that. It says disattached, but you attach it. Does that also make it that it's considered mechubar l'karka? That itself is a chiddush, it's not so clear. In our case, that it's something that you're plugging in, that to be considered that that's mechubar l'karka in the first place, that itself is a chiddush. So the Rav Vosner doesn't like this. And let's just see what Rav Sternbuch says. What?
What's an example of that?
If you have a 50-gallon vat that they install, they send it as a vat, and they install it into the ground. They install it, attach it to the wall, attach it to, they screw it into the floor or something. Look at Rav Sternbuch in source number 17. Rav Sternbuch in Krach Aleph, Simon Tafnun, Shuvas Van Hoges. Yesh Poter and Toaster. They're those who exempt the toaster from Toaster, I'm sorry, from Tefillas Kelim. Came and says Shimusho Kishemuchubel Karka V'Divrayim Tamuhin. Their words are, I don't understand why that should be, because who's the one who attaches it to the ground? Okay, we're not going to go into that svar. Fine. Next point. Okay, I want to finish with one point. That's we basically see that the Posen aren't so thrilled with this kula of plugging it into the ground. I thought somebody would mention this. Is it really true that the only way these electrical appliances will work is if you plug them into the wall?
Batteries.
No.
Oh, it could be plugged into either a battery. Well, you don't see, you know, too many urns with batteries, but you could plug it into a generator. Generator is not a mechubar l'karka.
You don't.
Chalkes Yaakov says, the halacha in Tefillas Kelim is that we follow Rov Tashmisha. Rov Tashmisha defines for us what its status should be for Hilchas Tefillas Kelim. Since Rov Tashmisha is by plugging into the wall, you're right. And in Hurricane Sandy, I'm sure some of you plug your things into a generator. But other than that, when it's not a Hurricane Sandy, you plug it into the wall. We follow Rov Tashmisha. Rov Tashmisha is attached to the walls. So Rav Osai, this is the kula, the famous kula of the Chalkes Yaakov that you have to know for the rest of your lives. Rav Yaakov Reish, Chalkes Yaakov, the Heter. If you ever need a kula in a pinch, this is the most kula dikashita that there is on the sugya. Plug it in, you're good to go. As we saw, the other poskim were not so quick to abide by this kula. It's very creative, but it's built on three levels of chiddush, and we should figure out some other way to conveniently be able to figure out how to do our tefillas kelim.
You have been listening to a presentation of benstorah.com.